And hello again, everybody. Welcome to you. This is your daily devotional for Thursday, July 2nd. I'm glad that I am here with you and that you are here with me. And y'all, today is a special devotional. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 15 with me. Luke chapter 15. When you get there, you may see that there's one of those nifty chapter headings about the parable of the lost sheep. Not focusing on the parable of the lost sheep today for the simple reason that we've already focused on this parable. We did it, I guess it was last week or the week before. Anyway, going through Matthew, remember that's what's kind of going on here. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the synoptic gospels, and there's some overlapping material. But in Luke especially, there's some parables that just aren't in Matthew or in the book of Mark or the gospel according to Mark. And we come to one of those parables today. We've heard about the parable of the lost sheep, that great parable about the shepherd that leaves the sheep and goes out and finds the one that is lost. And I'm just so glad to bring this devotional to you today. And it's going to be a short one because what we get to do today is just bask in the glory of God. And I wonder, when's the last time that you just stopped? Okay? And I want to give you an invitation right now. After you're done watching this daily devotional, if at all possible, take the time to just stop. And to bask in the glory of God, to bask in His goodness, in His love, in His mercy, in who God is. You know, you think about it this way. We have the Word of God in all of its entirety, right? This is God's revelation to us. I think it was MacArthur, and I love his quote, that he said, if you want to hear the voice of God, pick up your Bible and read it. He's right. We have everything that we need. What more can he say than to you he has said? One of my favorite hymn lyrics in all of hymnery, if that's even a word. But realize that we have God's revelation, but realize what God has put in the Bible. Most certainly we have instructions on how to live. God tells us what it is to please him. Didn't have to do that. Most certainly we have the story of redemption, right? Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden and tracing all of its way up through Christ coming and his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And then we even have the book of Revelation, and that's what we're going through on Sunday mornings. But we have even the story of how everything is going to come to an end. And God didn't have to give us that either. But amongst all of the things that God didn't have to give us, but he did, and for which we ought to be so grateful, God puts his character on display. He really does. And what a counterintuitive thing this is to think that the God of glory, seated in majesty, the Lord of the cosmos that holds the universe in the palm of his hand, the God that is immutable, the God that is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all these incredible things, that he loves me, that he loves you, that he wants to spend time with us. And not only that, the lengths that God went to unite us with him. Certainly, there's the obvious. Jesus sending his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life, not perish, but have eternal life. But the way that Jesus illustrates this in the parables is such a thing of beauty. I've already referenced in Luke 15, again, if you have it, you have the parable of the lost sheep. That's the little heading over verse 1. And we talked about that back in the book of Matthew. But Luke continues to offer other parables. Excuse me, not Luke. This is Luke revealing parables that Jesus offered, right? And remember, we're given some of these blanket statements there about it in the book of John that basically, what we have in the Gospels are collections of things that Jesus did. Y'all, what we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John really is only a collection of what Jesus did. As it says, there's not enough libraries on earth to contain all the wonderful things he did and all the wonderful things he said. And what we've been given is enough. But what Luke includes here in Luke chapter 15 is just so beautiful. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 8. Now, Jesus is telling these parables here. And again, there's a double meaning, just like we saw yesterday with the parable of the feast, right? Or the situation at the feast at the Pharisee's house, the Pharisee of prominence. Two applications, and we'll get into those. It applies to the Jews. It applies to all of us. But listen to the character of God on display. Luke chapter 15, look at verse 8 with me. It says, "Or, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." All right, I'm going to stop reading right there because that's the end of the parable, or the parable language here. I'm not going to spend much time on this because we don't have to. What a beautiful thing it is that, again, the God of all creation, the God who is Lord over everything, loves us just that much. You know, and I'm certainly not denying John 3:16 that God loved the world and so he sent his son. But there's a very personal side to what Luke is talking about here. He speaks of 10 coins. Now, the first inclination is, well, if the lady's got 10 silver coins, then what's the big deal about losing one? Well, remember that money worked a lot differently back then, and a silver coin was something very valuable indeed. But when Jesus describes what this woman does to find it, if you take this language and you apply it to your salvation, oh, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but it's heartbreakingly convicting. Because the idea that we get here from this parable language, is that the woman turned her house upside down. She looked in every corner. She swept the entire house. She lit a lamp to find it. Y'all, this describes the lengths that God went through to save you. If you belong to him, it describes the lengths that he went through to save you. The fact that God the Son, the second person in the Godhead, not second in terms of power or quality, but in the economy of the Trinity, the fact that he took on flesh, that he faced the humiliation of taking on flesh, he came to a creation that, remember from John 1, nothing was created that wasn't created through him. So that means every tree, every rock, he's responsible for. That when the book of Genesis talks about God gathering together the soil and fashioning man out of the soil, it was God the Son's hands that did the fashioning. Yet when he came, they would drive nails through those very same hands. The creation that he wrought would strive against him. The lengths that God went through to save us are just amazing. And it's described here, it's captured here in this story of the woman that lost the coin. She turns her house upside down to find it. And then when she does find it, what happens? She calls her friends and her neighbors together and she says, "Rejoice with me." Y'all, please, think about it. Take the time to really think about the idea of the God of the universe rejoicing over you. That the angels, in all of their majesty, the same angels, that like the angel of death itself that came on Egypt to destroy the firstborn, the angels that helped Lot escape Sodom, the angels that we hear about, the angels that came and told Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son, that the angels stop what they're doing, and every time somebody turns to the Lord in repentance, they rejoice. Y'all, it is the most humbling thing that you can possibly imagine. That God views us as that important. That he loves us just that much. I want to encourage you today to think about these things. And not just think about them in terms of cherishing the fact or feeling special, but then think about them in terms of the high price that was paid for you. Because that's what this parable is all about. It's not complicated. I'm not going to complicate it. I'm almost done with this devotional. But think about how much God loves you. And then at the same time, knowing that what he said is true, what Jesus said is true here, knowing about how the Father rejoices, think about how much God has done for you. And would you not want to please him in turn? Apply this idea to your own efforts in life. If you know that all of heaven stops for a minute and rejoices when somebody repents and turns to the Lord, that ought to affect how you and I do evangelism, namely that we are doing evangelism, and don't be scared off by that. I know that there's 1,000 books out there on it, and there's all these complicated things. Look, you know what evangelism is? It's loving somebody enough to have a conversation with them and tell them what the Lord has done for you. It doesn't have to be complicated, y'all. It means being prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. That's it. That's it. Don't complicate it. Love people enough to tell them about the Lord. Because when one sinner repents, well, we just read about it. God rejoices in that. Y'all, the parable of the lost coin ought to be a wake-up call for us. All of these parables. Parable of the lost sheep, too, that we covered a few weeks ago. And especially the parable that we're going to be coming to tomorrow with the parable of the lost son. All of these ought to resonate in our ears. They ought to echo back and forth and back and forth. And yet again, we should come to the conclusion of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8 when he talks about the created order of things and how God has placed man at the pinnacle of his creation. And the psalmist asks a rhetorical question. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. In other words, the psalmist is saying, God, who am I that you love me so much? Who are we humans that you care for us so much, especially in light of all the ways that we pursue our wants and desires instead of God's, and all the times that we go after what we want instead of what God wants, and we have our priorities instead of God's priorities? Y'all, take the time today. Don't wait. Stop and think about what God has done for you. The ways he's protected you, the ways that he's blessed you, the things that you know about, and then try to think about the things that you don't know about, the things that you have no idea that God has done. And then think about what has been revealed and what we just read in these three short verses. That God loves people, that he loves us so much that he rejoices when we turn to him. And let that motivate you. Number one, it ought to color the way that you look at yourself. You're a child of the King. And this isn't some pep talk, but in reality, you really are. You're a child of the King. You are favored because the Father in heaven loves you. And then take that love and share it with others. And if you don't know him, you know, I'm speaking as if everybody that's listening to this knows him. I hope that you do. If you do, then let this motivate you for what you do. But if you don't know him, realize how much he loves you. Don't wait. Turn to him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for this time that you have given to us. I pray that if there's any that are listening to this, no matter when they happen across it, that they don't know you, help them to realize that you are there. That all they need to do is cry out to you, ask you to be Lord of their lives, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they'll be saved. For Father, the act of repentance, stopping what we're doing and turning to you, all of this rests in your power. And Father, you don't tell us to come to you when we're ready. You just tell us to come, and you'll make us ready. So Father, please work in anyone's heart that may not know you. Draw these people to yourself. And for those of us that do, oh Father, help us to cherish the fact that you love us so much, that you care for us so much. And help us then to apply that to our own lives and how we interact with one another and in our efforts to share the truth of your kingdom, the beauty of your gospel, with a hurt and lost world. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time with me. I look forward to hopefully being with you live tomorrow morning. But if for some reason I'm not live, look for the video and you will see it then. Thank you so much for being a part of this time with me. I hope that you all have an excellent day.